You're listening to Hidden Mysteries Radio, discussing the topics no one else dares to. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to our new Wednesday night show. This is the second edition of it, and I managed to get it together to where we could actually do it on Wednesday night.
Yeah, the internet let us upload it.
Yeah. That was a problem last night, but hopefully it won't be tonight. The reason we're doing a Wednesday night show every week is so that we can do some more, what would you call it, Ghost? More things along the line of the paranormal, UFOs, hidden stuff, just esoteric subject matter.
Missing history that we can...
Where we're not...
Start research and open our... You know, we don't have to stick what somebody else has defined. We can branch out and combine what I envision was... Say you've read three or four books or seen three or four documentaries on a topic, and none of these topics have coalesced. You've seen them all. You see a different picture than what these guys did separately.
Yeah.
You might see a bigger picture in this whole thing.
Well, sure. And Ghost has so much knowledge about this stuff over all of his decades of his life that he has been interested in these topics and has published books on these topics. He's met a lot of people that have been involved on the inside of, you know, the various situations. Talking about Ghost knows people who have worked at Area 51. You know,
the guy who took the picture of the moon. The only known picture of
it. Right. We did a show on Men in Black. And also, it's just interesting stuff. And this takes us out of, this is kind of what was Ghost's idea when we first started the show. And the news cycle, right around the time we first started the show, got so out of hand with, the kind of stuff that we normally cover that we'll be covering again Friday night, at least partially. Kind of just took the show over. So here we are. We've got, we've been doing, as our listeners know, whenever we feel like it, we just do an extra show like we did last night. But now we've got the scheduled show that we do on
Sometimes
Wednesday.
Sometimes you
got
to eat your greens along with the red meat.
Right. And which are we doing tonight?
I guess we're doing greens.
Oh. I thought, well, it just depends on who's listening. This is really red meat to a lot of listeners. I know when we would do the shows, like one of our really most popular early shows was on Mysteries of the Pyramid, which is kind of where you got the idea for the name of your bookstore and this radio show and everything.
It was actually the very first book we published.
Right. And that was a really popular show. It was one of our early ones. I wasn't the slick media god that you hear now.
Plutus. Plutus.
Yeah.
Plutus was the god of greed.
Right. And anyway, that... But it's a good show, and if you look on the top left of the page, right under the slider with the pictures and the inspirational quotes, you'll see our past shows archived, and you can go check out these shows that we're talking about, the Mysteries of the Pyramid, Men in Black, and we've got one called Spaceships and Shadow People.
All ask God, Thor, to bless this show.
Right, because it will be published, not published, but posted on his day.
Look down with his benevolence upon us.
That's right. And let him bring his hammer down on our enemies.
Yes, and let Woden guide his hand.
That's right. But the show will
That's
be...
That's why it's on Woden's Day, folks.
Well, we're recording it. We're recording it on Woden's Day, but it'll be posted on Thor's Day. It's 9:30 right now, and we're just getting started. I doubt we're going to have this thing posted before midnight Central Time.
So no matter what race comes up with... Whatever argument they've got, they're going to have to remember that Thor's Day and Woden's Day are still Aryan.
Yeah, and Friday's Freya's Day.
That's right.
Yeah, And Saturday, of course, is Saturday. Saturn Day. And Sunday is
Hurrah.
Yeah. And let's see, Monday is moon, and Tuesday is.
Oh, I didn't think of Tuesday. Well.
Ah, well.
No, it's actually another one of the Norse gods.
Right. Well, anyway, I wonder which one it would be. We'll look that up sometime or not. But well, let's get right to it, Ghost. I wish that we'd been able to find this thing last night. What I've got in my hands right here, when we were looking for one of these so I could take it home last night and have a leaf through it and go say, well, we, you know, it's either been misplaced or I've sold them, I'll print some more. When I got here today, said I found them, and this is a book called UFOs, Nazi Secret Weapons by Matern Friedrich. That sounds like a good German name, doesn't it, Ghost?
It's a very German name.
Yeah, it's a very German guy, isn't
it? Yes, it is. Our hats off to the Germans that are not afraid to admit it.
That's right. And first off, people out there who follow me on Twitter have probably already seen the cover of this book. First, I just took a photo of it with my cell phone and sent it out. But I went on the Hidden Mysteries website and got a good photo of it. Man, this thing is cool. I wish I could have some kind of a glossy poster of this cover to frame and put on my wall.
For wallpaper.
That's what I'm saying. I wish I had a big glossy poster of this I could frame and put on my wall.
That could be arranged.
I bet it could. If it can, perhaps it will be. But I got so excited as I started leafing through this book, and I've already told my followers, and they're excited to find out who, so let's not keep them in suspense all night.
Yeah, let them know who wrote the book.
That's right. I told them that, I said, you're just going to shit when you find out who is using that name as an alias to write this book.
Actually, it was probably his early pseudonym.
Yeah.
Keep the powers to be off his butt.
Right. Well, I'm going to the description of the book on the HiddenMysteries.com website. I think, now remember, the guy, the nom de plume here is Matern Friedrich. But right off the bat, I think just about everyone would have to agree that Christoph Friedrich Zundel. We're talking about Ernst Zundel.
Yes, we are.
Ernst Zundel wrote this book. He says, I think just about everyone would have to agree that Zundel is not a well-liked person. Certainly not among the Jewish Defense League or the Coordination Forum for Countering Anti-Semitism. Wow, he already sounds like a great guy.
Tim?
Zundel.
Oh, Zundel?
Yeah, you can tell.
I don't know who wrote that.
Huh?
The guy who wrote this intro for him?
Uh-huh. Who's that?
Mr. UFO himself, the guy who took the picture of the men in black.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Tell his name again.
Timothy Beckley.
Timothy Beckley. And
this is actually his publication.
And if the people want that book, Buckley's book, don't we have that posted on the
Beckley? Beckley's got hundreds of books.
Yeah, but we have links to his books in the Shadow People show, right?
Yes.
Okay. And I'll go ahead and link to the Shadow People show so that anybody who's interested in that can just click the link and go there. But anyhow, it goes into a nice long description of Zundel and the book and some other things. And I'll put this description in the post with the show. What do you think, Ghost?
Very good.
Okay. Now I'm picking the book up in my hands right here. And if I can find it, there's a neat quote by, here it is, General Eisenhower, Ike. General Eisenhower wrote in his book, Crusade in Europe, it seems likely that if the Germans had succeeded in perfecting and using these new weapons 6 months earlier than they did, our invasion of Europe would have proved exceedingly difficult, perhaps impossible. Yes, sir. Well, you know, Ghost, the Germans were...
Put the scientists to work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, but they can demean Hitler all they want to, but we wouldn't be on the moon if we're on the moon.
Yeah.
If we're on the moon.
Yeah. Right, right. Oh, yeah, because Werner von Braun.
He would have been a nobody had Hitler not put him to work.
That's right. And that's the guy who developed the V-1 and V-2 missiles.
Exactly.
Which were, you called them the first Scud.
Yeah, they were the first Scud missiles.
Yeah, and they were accurate, too, for what they had back then. We were talking about, you said they just aimed them by hand. And I said, well, they probably used a little graph paper and pencil, too. But they'd send those things all the way from Germany to and France into England and land them right on London where they wanted to.
They wouldn't have them like, you know, as far as they didn't have any electronic guidance system to aim perfectly. But they had the old-fashioned planes to get the dial to the right close track of Mars.
Yeah.
To get it close.
Well, you know, and some of the other things that we know about that, you know, that once they had them perfected and going that weren't any secrets, the Germans were so interested in improving on everything and trying every new avenue, they wouldn't just write off ideas because they sounded too expensive or too crazy, as long as it sounded like work. Like, for two examples from totally opposite ends of the spectrum. Okay, for one, the Germans had perfected for urban combat, and they produced them for the infantry. They had a machine gun. It may have been a submachine gun. I don't recall what caliber ammunition it fired, but it had a curved barrel that curved all the way around to like a 90-degree angle, so that when they were in urban warfare and they'd be, you know, alongside a house or an apartment building or something like that, they didn't even have to stick their head out to get the other guy's heads down. They'd stick this curved rifle around and shoot. And the other end of the spectrum is,
as long as the scientists in control of this stuff, they got what they wanted.
Yeah.
But they made the same mistake that their military that yeah. we made over here was letting the generals decide what goes on a tank.
Right, right.
So they ended up with a 1,000-ton tank that couldn't even get off the parking lot, it was so big.
Right.
And we ended up with Abrams tank that couldn't do anything, it was so heavy, and if it got hit, it got caught on fire.
Yeah, and which is the opposite of what we learned in World War II, because, you know, like the Germans had the big heavy Panzers, the early versions of which weren't so heavy and were nimble.
Were fighter cats, yeah.
Yeah, but by the end of the war, they kept making them bigger and bigger. But the thing the United States did was they made Sherman tanks just out of stamped metal.
Yes.
They were small and maneuverable, and they could, and for the price of a Panzer, they could make several Shermans, and we were able to use our unparalleled to that time or until now, our manufacturing power.
Bigger
that we
is not better.
Not always. Well, it depends on what you mean by better, because our production was bigger. See,
well,
we got more.
I'm talking about the actual product.
The actual product. I agree with you. Not always
most
better.
Most soldiers don't want those big old heavy things in their way.
No. You know, I've got a friend, LOL Skilainen, who was in the military, I think in Norway. I'm not sure. But he sent me videos before of these little Leopard light armored vehicles that they use that he was. I'm not sure. I think he might have been a gunner in one, something like that. But anyway, it's really awesome to watch them because the little light ones, they can pack so much firepower into them and still have them just move around like they're the sports car of tanks. What they call these light armored vehicles now are as big as, say, the Sherman tanks back then, really.
You got to give Germany credit. They went from, in 30 years, from trench warfare
yeah.
to a I don't know what you call it, leading aspect of war weaponry.
Military technology.
That was so far advanced, they couldn't have done it with human-only developments, the whole point.
Right. Well, yeah, and the thing I was going to mention that is all the way at the other end of the spectrum from the curved barrel machine gun is a lot of people don't realize this. Not only did Germany invent the jet, Nazi Germany invent the jet engine, they invented the jet fighter, the ME-262, yes. And the Allies were scared to death of the thing. That's another one of those things that if they'd got it into production early, you know, they didn't get it into production until either late 44 or in or 45.
Got it developed to get it off the ground.
Yeah,
and you know, we didn't even have any landing structures.
Yeah. And they could go, those things could go anywhere from 600 to 700 miles per hour,
scared
which was
the crap out of U.S. pilots.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And one of the big problems was, there's a really cool song.
I think they were running on diesel fuel, too.
Yeah.
It wasn't jet fuel.
Right. And there's a really cool song by Blue Oyster Cult that I'll post the comic video to. By comic video, I mean it's got a comic to it that illustrates what the song is describing, called ME-262, and I'll post that. But for some reason, the Germans, instead of using the ME-262 in what it would have absolutely been undefeatable in the role as of a fighter jet, they made it a fighter bomber. They would send it out on bombing missions, and then it would fight its way back to base, you know. But anyway, you know, that's just another example of what you're talking about, the generals interfering with the scientists, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, you're talking jet technology, you're talking big improvements. And Germans also, I can't remember the model number on it right now, but Germans invented the first assault rifle. Everybody thinks it was the Russians with the AK-47, but no, the Germans had one. They developed their own assault rifle, you know, ammunition. You know, what I mean by assault rifle here is...
It's proven in history, but... They don't get credit for what they did at
Normandy. Right, right.
We all hear about the great invasion of the Americans.
Oh, they slaughtered the hell out of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many people were up there? 30 Germans held off, murdered, or not murdered, but killed 30,000 U.S. soldiers.
Oh, it was the dumbest thing ever. Why didn't they just...
They were able to pick them off, getting off of the ship into the lifeboats to come to shore.
And
getting hit in the air, jumping off the ships.
Yeah, and one of the beginning of Saving Private Ryan is that beach storming, and as you can see on it, and they
lost
say
a lot of good people that day.
Hell yeah, we did.
And everybody wants to say that's the miracle of the war. I think that's the tragedy of the war.
It absolutely is. Now, I think the thing that it is something to brag about in the sense that we had so many warriors who were so brave that they went and did that, and we honor that. But it was stupid, and just about any military
use that many people in one of front.
Yeah,
one.
Once they saw those machine gun nests set up to where they couldn't get on the beach that way,
and they were bomber protected.
Why couldn't they just pull back and bomb the thing until they could come on the beach?
The bomber, they were bomb shelters themselves.
Yeah. Oh, it was Maginot Line stuff, wasn't
it? Yes.
Oh yeah. Well. I guess that Maginot Line.
That's from the French. They were in French territory. Yeah. Had all their bunkers underground.
Right. That's the Maginot Line. I guess that Maginot Line was a little bit more effective than they thought, just not against the Germans. They always say the Maginot Line was a piece of crap because it didn't stop the Germans, but it sure was. It sure did slow down the Allies.
The U.S. could have gone, the invasion could have gone several miles to the north or south around the bottom into France and gotten in without any of that stuff.
Yeah.
They decided to take German on at the front face and dare them.
Right. Well, it's just another case of false history, isn't it, that we celebrate this thing like it was some kind of a master plan that only the greatest military genius...
How great the parachutists were for landing behind any enemy lines. Great. Getting shot out of the air by the thousands.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But anyway, Rommel knew better and told the... high command back in Berlin that this was where he thought it was coming.
Yes.
And that they needed, if they would just fortify a little bit, they'd never get in there. If they just send him a few more troops and some more stuff. And they said, no, we're more interested in England. And they wanted to keep everything over by England because they were afraid that there was going to be this, other invasion from north on the channel, I believe is what it was. And, they actually even reassigned Rommel to shut him up.
Yeah, you know, main pull back.
Yeah, and they should have read his book. They should have read Rommel's book,
Patton
did.
That's what happens when you get military people in charge of things. Because military people are jump in and die. They don't have a brain to think with usually.
Yeah,
I mean, true lifers of military people thought.
Right, right. Well, you know what, Henry?
It's not their life they're throwing out there. It's the younger guys.
Right. I'll look it up during the break, but Henry Kissinger had some really, really awful, awful quote about soldiers.
Yeah. He's not a fond person to think about. Even the rabbi that I love and adored hated Kissinger.
Right, right. You're talking about Rabbi Gilner, who was his interpreter.
Yeah, he worked for Kissinger. He knew what a scumbag he was.
Right, right. And he wasn't shy about telling people, was he?
He wasn't afraid to tell Kissinger either.
Well, when you can speak, when you're Henry Kissinger and you have a particular job opening, and the guy that you need needs to be an Orthodox rabbi who can speak 15 languages, including Vietnamese and all the classical languages like Greek and Latin and all that.
The rabbi just happened to be there. He was one of the languages.
Right, right. Well, right. But when you need somebody who can, okay, leave the Orthodox rabbi part out. When you need a guy who can speak 15 languages,
in all those languages, you'll never know it.
Right. Among them, hard to learn languages like Vietnamese and dead languages like classical Greek and Latin.
Sanskrit.
You pretty much let the guy tell you whatever he wants to tell you as long as he does the job.
That's right.
It's just like Hunter Thompson said, It's one of my favorite quotes ever. This was back during Papa Bush's administration when they were going off about the drug war and everything. He said he quoted the first few verses of Kubla Khan by Samuel Coleridge Taylor. And he said, you know, Coleridge liked to eat opium like it was candy. But look at the words that he wrote. Now, if Bush and his campaign team could find a guy who could write words like that, they would hire him and pay him whatever he wanted and completely ignore all his bad habits. You know,
basically, Germany lost the war, World War II, for the same reason the United States lost the Vietnam War.
Because they weren't willing to go all the way?
No, I hadn't got anything to do with it. They should have already gone all the way long before. But
right.
The problem was military brass and politicians.
Oh, right. Yeah,
not
you know,
the soldiers. The soldiers could have gone in there and cleaned up in a month's time.
Right, right. Well, yeah.
And that was a whole lot less a loss of life.
That was a big problem here because we had McNamara, who had been a great CEO for Ford, but who wasn't all that great as Secretary of Defense, micromanaging the war. And they had... Instead of actually
he
trying,
was Secretary of State, wasn't he?
No, he's Secretary of Defense, SecDef. Anyway, I think he was promoted. He may have been promoted. No, let's see. When did Kissinger come in with Nixon?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know. We'll check that. But I know McNamara started off as Secretary of Defense, and
I lost my history there.
Yeah.
But anyway, thing about it is, you had politicians in brass calling the shots when it should have been the soldiers in the field, the brass out, the lower brass out there,
right,
seeing what's going on.
Right, the colonel who's standing there on the ground commanding the lieutenants who are telling the sergeants what to tell the.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, not the guys back in the Pentagon,
in their easy chair drinking booze every day at 3 p.m.
waiting for a plane to fly into them.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I tell you what, Ghost. We've had a hell of a good first segment here. At least I enjoyed it, and. What we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and take our break, and when we come back, we'll actually talk about this thing that is known variously as the Nazi spaceship, the Nazi time machine, the Nazi bell, or Die Gurke. All right?
It's called Vril.
Vril? V-R-I-L, Vril? Okay. Vril.
That's the power they were trying to achieve.
Well, when we come back, we'll have you explain what Vril is, and we'll talk about this nifty little... device that
Let's do it this way. If Hitler couldn't explain it and the U.S. couldn't explain it, but I doubt I can.
Well,
it's something that everybody's still looking for.
Well, we'll let you do your best and we'll talk about that sucker right after this.
Truth seekers and freedom loving Texans. HiddenMysteries.com is the place to find those hard to locate books for your research. HiddenMysteries.com has the largest and most diverse knowledge based selection on the internet today. Be sure and visit HiddenMysteries.org for over 12,000 free articles for truth seekers. Visit HiddenMysteries.com today or call 903-876-3256 for a free catalog.
Just keeping it Texas on RFT. Just keeping it Texas the way it ought to be. You wanna be RadioFreeTexas.org, bringing Texas to the world.
Are you an unpublished author? You can get your manuscript published at incredibly low prices. TGS Publishing is the largest print-on-demand publisher in Texas. Visit TGSPublishing.com for more details. Order as few as 50 copies of your book and keep your capital for marketing. TGS Publishers can get your literary work into print and published. TGSPublishing.com.
Welcome back to Hidden Mysteries Radio, HiddenMysteriesRadio.com. All right, we're back. And Ghost, in the first segment, one of our little gremlins came back.
Which one?
The one that goes...
We got rid of him.
Well, for the most part.
Some raid in there if you need it.
Well, it happened right at the beginning of the segment, and I cut that out. But I was, you know, I went and checked and listened throughout the entire first segment, and there are a couple of spots where for just about half a second, it goes, but then also there are some longer segments where there was some pretty bad hum.
So that wasn't your stomach?
No, it wasn't my stomach. My stomach growls like, you know, a grizzly bear or like a big fat man snoring. But I edited the hum down as much as I could. So the show is still very the first segment is still very listenable, but the listeners will notice a little bit of hum for a couple of minutes here and there.
Tell them.
Well, no, I'm telling them. I got a reason I'm telling them. See, this the problem here, and I believe I've gotten it fixed.
You just lie.
Oh.
All you got to do is lie.
No, we're not mainstream.
You learn from Fox News.
No, we're not mainstream media. We're alternative media. That's the alternative parts. We tell the truth. That's what's different, see. Sometimes we might be wrong, but we're not lying.
As Trump learned.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He said today that he's not doing any more interviews with Fox because they treat him unfairly. So, you know.
So they're liars.
They are. You know, they went from, I don't want to get into this, but they went from, first they were pushing Yeb, you know, Yeb Bush, as his wife calls him, her poppy Yeb. But they pushed Jeb until they realized that was just going to be a no-win thing.
Like and pushing Perry.
Yeah, now they're pushing Fiorina. And
what's that?
Carly Fiorina. She is the woman who is best known as one of the top 10 worst CEOs in about the last 1,000 years. She's the one who was elected CEO of HP and immediately the first and only thing she did was took them into that god-awful Compaq merger and, yeah, ruined HP. She actually is listed on, like, top 10 worst CEOs of the 21st century.
Of course. She's been groomed for government.
Right. And one of her big talking points was that, you know, Trump hadn't always been a Republican because he gave donations to both sides. Well, you know, as businessmen do.
Yes.
Well, of course, you don't hear any of them bitching at Goldman Sachs about that because they're taking their donations. And Goldman Sachs is donating to everybody on both sides. And all the big guys are. But anyway.
Nobody is more of a hypocrite than a Republican.
Right. But here's the thing. You got it right, Ghost. As always, you got it right about them because it came out yesterday. Somebody went and did a public record search on little old Carly, and she's bitching about who Trump gave money to. Well, she's voted Democrat in the past, registered as Democrat in the past. So where's her big Republican credentials? And she's also said yesterday that
this type of people left the Democrat Party is the reason it went so far left.
Right. And she said yesterday that she supports basically the Dream Act and amnesty and all because she says that we should go ahead and give citizenship to the children of the adult illegals who cross the border because we shouldn't punish children for the sins of their fathers. But if we allow the children to become citizens, the parents get to stay too, don't they? Yeah, generally. I know you can go and look it up, and in the law it says no, not always, but yeah, always.
It's whoever she is as dumb as they come.
She's dumb as a rock, yeah.
She's one of those sperms that shouldn't have made its mark.
Right. Her mother should have swallowed her.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we got that down. Let's get back to the interesting stuff. How about that?
She don't even sound American with that kind of name.
Fiorina. She sounds some kind of Sicilian gangster or something. Anyway, maybe she reckons she ever took peyote with Tony Soprano.
Sounds like
that. Well, anyhow, that was an interesting episode of that show, watching a mob boss take some peyote. But anyway, that's another show. All right. We're talking about Nazi secret weapons, specifically the bell. And before we're going to do this segment is talk about that bell. But before we do, let's spend just a couple of minutes talking about this author, Ghost, for the people out there who aren't familiar with Ernst Zundel. Ernst Zundel's a very famous man, isn't he?
Quite popular in Germany.
And in Canada, too. You might say he's wanted. But the thing is,
went by the free German and by the enslaved German alike.
Right, right. Ernst Zundel is a German national who lived several decades in Canada, and he owned a company called Samizdat Publishing, and Zundel was one of the first and most vocal revisionist historians pointing out the problems with the Holocaust.
Now, calling him a revisionist is falling into the Fox mantra.
Well, I call he's myself not a revisionist. One. Well, he's looking for the true history.
Right.
Right. Right.
Why is that my revision?
No, it's not. Well, because
revision is taking off the blinders.
Right. Right. But to
show you the scam that the governments have revised history.
Well, I'm trying to take the term back.
Such as the Confederate will never rise again.
Right. Right. Well, I'm trying to take the term back because I don't consider it a bad term, because what you're revising is the false narrative that the politicians
they've used it as a slam name. They've made it the disgusting name.
Yeah, they have.
That's
just
what
like
happens when you allow,
just like conspiracy theorists.
When you allow the Jerusalem Press to set your language for
you. Oh, see, there we go. There we go. Bringing up those U's again.
Well, you're talking about the EU.
Right. Well, but anyways, Zundel had this Samizdat Press, and he was so effective in digging up facts, and he had
years of research before he ever published.
Oh, yeah. Read thousands and thousands of books, went through miles and miles of archives, had one of the greatest book collections on the topic of the Third Reich and the alleged Holocaust. I was trying to say Holocaust. It always wants to come out Holo-hoax. But Zundel's just a great man. He would not back down, and it's not like he was making some kind of a massive living off this either. He, you know, back in the 80s, in the days before the internet, that's the days, like, if you watch the movie Conspiracy Theory with Mel Gibson, you know how Gibson would make a newsletter, and he had a mailing list, and he'd have to mail out the newsletter to everybody. That's the only way that people could get that stuff around before the internet, because
like the Berkshires did it.
Right. Or paying for self-publishing of the books through people like you, Ghost, you know, that you have some kind of alternative thing that the mainstream press
even did his own printing.
Yeah. He had his own publishing company, Samizdat Publishing. And they also did, they would do documentaries and TV shows and stuff. He had a Samizdat TV interview show, and he would have really cool people on there. He had several interviews.
That's back before Canada became all communist.
Well, I don't know if they were broadcasting it on television or not. They may have been. I'm just saying.
The VCR stuff?
Yeah, it may have been. I don't know. I've only ever seen the stuff on YouTube.
Well, Canada used to be what I call the vision of freedom for Americans that were enslaved, and now they've gotten worse.
Well, yeah, but it really wasn't, because
they're allowing the Vietnam veterans, you know, or
well, yeah,
up there.
Yeah, but what I was going to say is, by 1986, they certainly weren't, because
1984 was their year.
Well, they went and dug up a 400-year-old law called spreading false news, and they charged Ernst Zundel, and they were going, and it carried like up to 5 years in prison, something like that, and Zundel fought it in court.
Why didn't they charge that Jewish guy that had the purple clouds when a certain kind of Jew burned?
Oh, you're talking about Elie Wiesel?
Yeah. Charge him.
I don't know. Hey, well, why don't they?
He's got the perfect name.
Well, why don't they demand that he show his tattoo? He doesn't have one.
He washed it off.
He doesn't. Yeah, right. He probably wrote it with the same ballpoint pen they wrote Anne Frank's diary with.
That's right. And that was a fraud, too.
Yeah, the ballpoint pen wasn't invented until.
Just like Harry Beecher Stowe. Book of Uncle Tom's Cabin, yeah. Total fiction.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. But anyway, that so Zundel got charged with spreading false news, and he took, and I'm going to post the documentary here just so people can see the type of what a substantial mind we're talking about here with Ernst Zundel, because that's who wrote this book. There's a documentary about the trial. They charged him. He found a lawyer who was willing to ruin his career by offering Zundel a really good defense. And they went, and the way that they mounted Zundel's defense was, since he was charged with spreading false news, they prosecuted the Holocaust. And they got all these witnessed, you know, back in 86, most of them were still alive. All these people who had spread the crazy stories about things like
weasels.
Yeah, right. But things like, they got the guy in there who claimed on the stand who claimed that the flames were flying 100 yards out of the, smokestacks of the ovens, and that you could tell what nationality of Jew is being burned in the ovens by the color of smoke. They said a German Jew
weasel.
Made, yeah, they said, well, it's in his book, but he's not the one who made that, who said it, you know. But they got, they claimed that if it was a German Jew, blue smoke would come out, and if it was a Polish Jew, green smoke would come out. And they also had this crap about that, you know, for months and months after the camps were freed, that
the lampshades.
Well, no, not that. That the earth would tremble and geysers of blood would shoot out of the ground at Auschwitz and Birkenau and all.
Nebuchadnezzar was a man after God's own heart.
Well, they get that from some. That's from some old Bible story, Old Testament story, isn't it? About the blood geysers, or it's a, or they get it from what happened when Christ was died at his crucifixion, or something.
Blood flowing in the streets, knee deep.
From Revelation.
Well, it's quoted there in Revelation, but it's also quoted Isaiah. Hebrew history or Jewish history about the when Titus went in and slaughtered.
Right.
Rome, I mean, tore a burden to the ground.
Right.
Supposedly blood flowing knee deep.
To the bridles of the horses or something like that, yeah. Okay, well, so Zundel actually went to trial and won. He was found not guilty. And this organization called the JDL, the Jewish Defense League, they were
owned, operated 100% lock, stock, and barrel by Seagram's Brockman family.
The JDL?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Such thing as a JDL.
Well, but anyway, but they had apparently.
Not JDL. You're talking about the Jewish Congress, right?
I'm talking about the Jewish Defense League.
That's talking about America.
Well, no, they had it up there too. They were there, and you'll see them on the video.
Congress is all Brockman.
Right. But the Jewish Defense League, they had all these young thugs both outside the court when Zundel and his people would come in and out. And they were throwing, right in front of the police, they were pelting them with rocks, where Zundel and his people had to wear bulletproof vests and, like, construction worker hard hats in and out of the court. And the police wouldn't do anything. I mean, those people were just standing right there on camera, just pelting them with the rocks.
Imagine that happening here in Texas. It wouldn't happen. The police would be all over.
The police would stomp the living hell out of them.
Well,
but anyway, so they were also crowded out in front of his house 24/7 making noise.
Time left on spaceships.
No, we got plenty of time. I'm almost done. And they burned his house down and burned his book collection down, which he was able to replace because of through donations from friends and listeners, subscribers and stuff like that.
Well, anyway, he had published most of that stuff, republished a lot of it.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm not talking about his books. I'm talking about his book collection of all these rare books and stuff. I've watched him discuss this. But anyway,
he had some of the original books that had the spaceship sketch diagrams and schematics and what the plans were, even though they never got to fully develop the plans and all that.
Right. Well, let's get into that. Ghost, what is the Nazi Bell? Describe it to us.
Well, Nazi Bell is just one of the particular spaceships that they were developing. We assume it was a spaceship. It was a ship of transportation of unknown goal.
Yeah.
We can assume a goal because of what their studies were.
Right. What were the studies?
You got to remember, it wasn't just Germany. Roosevelt was looking for it too, and so were the Russians. It was called Vril. Vril comes from a passage that was done by Lord Bullier White Lighton Bullier, whatever his name was, of a British. They only wrote a fictional story about Vril.
Yeah,
but the Vril was actually a little nugget of true history that comes out of Tibet and northern India, from the ancient Vimana idea, where they had spaceships of gods that flew in spaceships, had wars in the skies, and all that from the ancient Sanskrit. But Nicholas Roark was looking for it. He came up on the same studies when he was doing his research for Russia.
Yeah.
Madame Blavatsky came across it.
Blavatsky?
Oh, yes, she did.
That's the woman from the...
She was a genius.
What was it called? The Institute? The Theosophical Institute?
Yeah, she was in... She was the originator of theosophy, and I think she kind of got disillusioned with another organized religion, kind of walked away from it at the end of her life.
Right. Well, okay. So I watched a couple of videos, just real short videos. One of them I'll post because it was just neat artistic representations about the bell and asking questions about could it be this, could it be that. You know, that's all it did. But some people say that it's a time machine, and some people say that it, or speculate that it's a time machine. Some people speculate that it's a spacecraft, like you said, and some people speculate, as you mentioned to me earlier, it's an interdimensional craft of some kind. And then yet again, and I guess this might also fall under interdimensional, but one of the things that I ran across fairly often was that they said it's some type of a vehicle that opens wormholes and travels through them to where it can cross vast gulfs of space that could never possibly be crossed. Because if anybody has ever seen, what's it, Contact, the Jodie Foster movie, that the device that the aliens gave them, the plans, that's what it did. It opened a wormhole.
There's also a concept that the Vril was a spiritual power.
Yeah.
A mystical, metaphysical type power.
Right.
The thing about Hitler's Germany and the scientists was they were not confined to a box.
Yeah.
They were allowed to explore all the sections of the Vril power that they could.
Yeah.
That's why you had that Temple of Doom, they call it, but it was studying the Vril power and the metaphysical possibilities.
Right.
Studying the Vril power and the mechanical possibilities.
Yeah.
And to some degree, the United States did it too and didn't realize it probably that that was what they were doing.
Are you talking about the Philadelphia experiment?
The Philadelphia experiment was one of the, is the same science behind it that they were using to try to make a ship disappear from vision.
Right.
That sent them into an interdimensional time warp.
Right. And cause things like sailors' bodies to be halfway in and out of bulkheads and stuff.
There was a documentary
that
on that I watched last night about the lights over Phoenix.
Yeah.
They had scientists and space engineers and aeronautics and things try to develop or try to figure out where those lights could be developed by anything here on Earth that travel the way they did. They were able to make right turns at 6,000 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And they more or less pretty well discounted. There ain't nothing on Earth like this. I mean, there's no way.
Right.
The only power that could do something like that, and they said that the problem would be that the human body couldn't take it, those kind of forces.
Right.
Would be some type of electromagnetic power, which causes the anti-gravitation idea.
Right. Yeah, it would have to just suspend the laws of physics.
Well, that's the same thing that was on the Philadelphia experiment, and probably the same thing that the bell was about.
Right.
Because they've seen the documentary where it looks like a little Stonehenge in a circle.
Right.
Where the bell was set in the middle of it.
Right.
Well, that looks just like what it would be for a coil with the wires wrapped around to create the electromagnetics.
Right, right.
So this bell thing was probably, like I say, most people agree that these spaceships that are showing up now and that we, you know, that you hear about nowadays on the UFOs are probably not interplanetary travel.
Right.
As in the common general physics that we know of today.
Right. Nobody's getting on a rocket and driving
in
outer space.
You have to go through the wormhole thing, or it's an interdimensional travel.
Right.
Or possibly the time warps.
Yeah.
But you cannot physically, you know, your life is dead before you get there if we were going to head anywhere.
Right, yeah, if we were traveling in...
Couldn't even get to the nearest star without dying, probably.
Right, if we were traveling in space and time as we understand it, we'd never get to another solar system.
Well, if that physics remains true throughout the universe, then they couldn't get to us either the same way.
Right.
So you pop this little capsule in and out of dimensions or in and out of wormholes, and when you're there, you've got a capsule-like thing to travel in locally or land.
Yeah.
And you also have the same capsule that would be re-energized to carry you out.
Yeah.
A lot of these UFOs that people see disappear in an instant.
Right.
Where do they go?
Well, we talked about that on our show.
Probably what that bell was all about.
On our show, Spaceships and Shadow People, which was basically just about you and I sharing the few little paranormal experiences that we had had. Yeah. We discussed my UFO sighting where it was just a big ball of light that came rocketing out of the sky and with no sound and disappeared. Just snapped right out of sight.
There's a guy who's developed a motor down in Mississippi who says the bigger the copper in the coil, the more energy you get from the motor itself or the generator.
Yeah. What's it generating? Electricity or?
It is generating electricity, yes. He's built a car that actually, or yeah, I think it's a golf cart, that runs one of his motors.
Yeah.
It produces more electricity than it can possibly use. He has to let it spark and waste on the ground to keep it grounded or anything would get too hot and explode.
Right.
He's got electric companies working with him and trying to develop capacitors that would catch that excess electricity and be able to harness it and reuse it.
Right.
So
what's the fuel it runs on?
The German scientists were not that far off.
What's the fuel it runs on?
Electromagnets.
Okay.
All of it's electromagnetism.
Electromagnets and gyroscopes and all that good stuff.
He needs a 9-volt battery to kickstart it, and it's gone on its way.
Wow. Well, if they could harness that, it could really revolutionize the way we understand, the way we interact with the whole world, huh?
You know, the problem with the Philadelphia experiment and why it all went wrong was because some German guy named Tesla, or he was Austrian, actually.
Yeah.
Walked away and said, I ain't helping you do this crap. This is dangerous, what you're trying to pull.
Right.
They were trying to rush him into the box that the brass had built for him. And these scientists weren't into the box thing.
So they brought in the underachiever Einstein. Einstein
walked off, too.
Oh, did he?
He was with
it.
They were working on it together.
Right.
Both of them agreed, this is bullshit. And they walked away.
Too dangerous.
Yes.
But not too dangerous because it would hurt the sailors. Too dangerous of a power to be in the hands of any government, right?
It was too dangerous to start running tests with human beings on it.
Okay, gotcha.
And you hear the horror stories of what happened. Yes, it might have been a little dangerous.
Yeah, sounds like.
But they brought in the retarded ones to finish up the project.
Right. Well, they should have had them on the ship.
That was the thing about Hitler's scientists. He didn't ever confine them to a box. The biggest mistake they did was put them in a rush.
Yeah.
You know, he went to war. If he was going to go to war, that was his plan. He should have waited another 5-10 years and let his science catch up with him.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the few things I don't criticize him about militarily is I don't think he had any choice but to invade Poland when he did.
Well, regardless, that was rushing the scientists. You know, it'd be like saying, look how long it took the United States to develop that single-wing airplane they've got now that looks like a big V.
Right.
Well, Hitler already had it on the planning books and stages and ready to go.
Right.
And it took us another 50 years to make it work.
And they had the jet engines perfected and ready to propel it.
Yeah, which we grabbed right after the war and did it.
Yeah, yeah.
All of the stuff we have now in modern, say modern warfare technology came from Germany.
Right.
Didn't come from Israel like they like to claim that the super race came up with all this stuff. It actually came from Germany.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It came from Hitler's scientists.
Right.
Now, Hitler was a smart dude to figure out these guys have the answer. Well, these guys have solutions.
Also, in this book, there's some evidence that the Hiroshima bomb was actually made in Germany.
Got
pictures and everything.
Well, I don't know if it's made in Germany, but it was certainly developed there originally.
Well, no, they're not alleging that it was. They're asking if it was because of the comparative pictures of
Germany was already on its way. That's where the United States probably got it from.
Well, they had a couple of really profoundly talented physicists named I've got it right here.
Oppenheimer,
Wirtz and Menzel. No, the Germans, Wirtz and Menzel, who were right at the edge of having it, is what they say, if they didn't actually have it.
My guess is the United States took it.
Yeah.
You know, how did we have it overnight all of a sudden like we did?
Right.
It's impossible.
Right.
You know, yes, this world has seen leap years or decades of advancements that we didn't deserve and we really didn't develop. It came from another source outside this world.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know where these things are inter-Earth or from outside this, or you know, outside our universe, or outside our galaxy, or whether they're actually
interdimensional beings,
yeah, or actually our creators,
right?
They are us, is what that one guy that's in the know in NASA has gone and did all the study, and he says yes, there are UFOs, and talking about who's on them, and says he's, you know, they got some of the bodies. He says no, they're not extraterrestrial; they are us.
Yeah.
Well, where could these guys come from if they are us, but other than a hollow earth theory?
Right.
Well, it's just subterranean or hollow earth. It wouldn't matter.
Right.
These guys are us. Or maybe if he's talking about a time travel.
Perhaps.
These guys are
coming
us.
Coming from the future.
Or these guys were our creators. It makes them us.
Right, right. Well, in it's right in the beginning of Genesis, it says that we were made in somebody's image.
Well, if you go and read, I've mentioned his name before, is Trensley Lepore Trench, in his book, The Sky Gods. There were seven gods that created man in their image.
Yeah.
Now, you had a black race that's created in a black god's race. You had a yellow race that's created in an Asiatic type of race. All this isn't, you know, how can you assume that one race is slant-eyed and another race is not slant-eyed, and that comes from evolution? It doesn't work that way if you're a true believer in evolution.
Right.
We would all generally have the same look. Just like the gorillas all generally have the same look.
Right.
You know, and by the way, Darwin never said we came from gorillas.
No, he didn't.
That was preachers that said that.
Right. It's the same people who have the museum in Nashville where they have Fred Flintstone riding on a dinosaur claiming it's historical.
But all he said was we had the same ancestry.
Right. Well, sure we do. A common ancestor.
The missing link is somewhere in the genetic code.
I think I met him today.
Probably manipulated by extraterrestrial gods.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a firm believer that this extraterrestrial stuff, because if you follow the Bible itself, it gives the story of many of these extraterrestrial gods that came down.
Yeah.
And if you follow in the book, The Sky Gods, the God of the Garden of Eden was not a friend to mankind.
Yeah.
It was his opponent who brought us the mathematics and the engineering and the building techniques and learning. And
because we were basically pets.
Yeah. And all this happened at around, again, 10,000 BC.
Yeah. Well, I just want to point out here that
back when we were riding dinosaurs.
Yeah. That the very first post that was made here on the Hidden Mysteries Radio website,
about the bell,
was about the bell. I needed to grab something that I thought was interesting to put on here and test out the website and all that. And the headline, this was back on October 20th of 2014. You believe we've been doing this almost a year now, Ghost?
Yeah, because I guess got the bill in for the domain renewal.
Oh, well, yeah. We'll have to send them some shekels. I'll pay you my half of the shekels. But anyway, the headline is Roswell UFO Mystery Solved According to German Documentary. A new German documentary claims that testing of a secret Nazi aircraft by the U.S. Air Force is the real conspiracy behind the famous Roswell incident. The Roswell incident took place in early July 1947. Something crashed in the desert, and the U.S. Air Force didn't know what it was. They even wrote a press release saying they captured a crashed flying saucer. The next day, they retracted that statement and said it was all a mistake. The mysterious debris was just a weather balloon. After that, the incident was forgotten. Then, in the 1970s, Jesse Marcel, who had been the intelligence officer at the Roswell Army Airfield, said that the weather balloon excuse was a lie. He said he was first on the scene, and what he saw was no weather balloon. Since then, hundreds of alleged witnesses have come forward saying they knew of or were part of the cover-up. Many even said they saw alien bodies. The story grew in popularity until it became a household name. Eventually, due to inquiries by politicians and even Bill Clinton, the Air Force said the Roswell crash was actually a secret high-altitude spy balloon and the alien bodies were actually crash test dummies. The German documentary is called UFOs and the Third Reich, and according to this new documentary, the Germans were working on a top-secret aircraft called the Bell. This is not a new discovery. UFO researchers have been writing about the legends of the Bell for decades. However, the documentary does include some credible witness testimony. Let me see. One of these witnesses is aeronautical engineer George Klein. He said, "This is what I saw with my own eyes, a Nazi UFO." He also says, "I don't consider myself a crackpot or eccentric or someone given to fantasies." So there's no telling what the use of this thing was. I mean, just because it caused an explosion or crash out in the desert doesn't mean it was necessarily trying to...
Well, there were witnesses that saw the one crash, too.
Right, right.
But there's one that crash landed in, I think it was Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
That people saw it crashing, said it looked like a bell.
Right.
It looked like the Liberty Bell.
Well, it sounds like...
With feet.
It sounds like they got the bell in...
In Washington, D.C.
Area 51 or somewhere like that, yeah.
They've been hiding this for a long
time.
Well,
if it's an interdimensional thing, it could probably pop in and out from you know, like if it could be all the way over there in New Mexico and just pop into existence over Washington, D.C. or over Pennsylvania.
More than likely, it'd be popping into existence in some other planetary mode.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you had some kind of control about where it was going to go, you'd do some tests first. Where
I hadn't heard of any interdimensional zapping in and out for local transport.
Well, that would be a very good explanation for the ghosts and phantoms and shadow people and stuff that people see.
It could be. I think we're seeing other dimensions when we see them.
And also, you know, all the interesting things.
Like sliding out of dimensions, but not physically leave. Yeah.
All the interesting things that people have seen along the ley lines coming out of Stonehenge and stuff like that, yeah. That's very likely interdimensional. Like, there's one really famous incident where a bunch of people who were on a tourist thing saw a bunch of apparently Saxon warriors, one tribe of them fighting another tribe of them right there along those ley lines. And when they asked about later who the reenactors were and stuff, they were told, what are you talking? There's nothing like that going on out there. You know, and that's probably interdimensional stuff.
Well, you see the same thing and you hear the same stories about the, what was that? I lost the print of the Lincoln's famous battle.
Oh, Gettysburg?
Yeah. They talk about still seeing the soldiers there laying on the ground wounded.
Right.
Or sometimes they see them fighting.
Yeah. Well, now, we're going to call this thing to a close. We're going to keep it down to about an hour. What do you think?
Up to you. You think you finish this story?
Huh?
Think we finish this story?
Well, what else do we need to talk about?
No, I mean, what do you think? Is it plausible?
Oh, yeah. I think it's plausible. Absolutely.
Most of the UFO people, you know, they really think that there is something there that this government has got and hidden from us.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
And that new aircraft, the stealth fighter thing, looks like it came right out of the German playbook.
Sure.
I mean, there's pictures of it in that book that you're just holding there.
Right. And this is mine, and I'm taking this home with me, and we'll probably do some more stuff on it because they're not just talking about the Bell in this book, are they?
Oh, no. That's about all the technology they had.
I mean, all kinds of flying saucer stuff
artillery,
that they had.
Artillery, weapons.
Yeah.
You know, one of his biggest ideas was the big gun, and I think they accused Saddam Hussein of trying to do the same thing.
Right.
And it all came from German technology.
Right.
Without the Germans, we would not have the technology and the stuff we have here today.
No.
So we need to give a big thank you kiss to Hitler because he's the one that financed it and made it happen.
Not only that, what about the Volkswagen Bug?
Volkswagen Bug's been a very popular car in the United States.
That was his idea. I think the only car that ever sold more worldwide was the Model T.
I just can't believe Volkswagen can't make a go of it still.
They can. They're doing good.
Well, I'm not like they were with Bug.
No, but they're doing good. They own they own lots of stuff now. Like, I think they own Rolls Royce and.
Well, they got a factory here in the United States now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, I want to tell everybody before we leave
this
from
book
here.
Is really incredible.
Oh, it is. And I mean, just from the cover of it, I want it. But I've been leafing through it, and I promise you, this is the kind of book that when I get home, I'm going to tear through this thing, and by tomorrow at this time, I'll be an expert on everything inside this book because it's also interesting. But I want to let the listeners know that Ghost has been kind enough to go over to eBid and put this book up there because he can sell it to you cheaper on eBid, and The book is regularly $25. And how much have you got it for on eBid?
$18. There's only five copies available on eBid.
Right.
There's two copies available on eBay for $20.
Uh-huh.
And on Hidden Mysteries, there'll be 22 something using your discount coupon.
Right. Now, what's their discount coupon?
It's called HM Radio.
Yep. You go in there and where it says, where there's a place.
15% off the regular price.
Yep. Where there's, where there's a place that says coupon code, you enter HM Radio.
Yes.
Now, does that work on any book or?
It'll work on any book on the site.
Any book on hiddenmysteries.com. Now, you can't ask for a better deal than that. 15% off. And there's so much good stuff. And especially if you're into this kind of thing. There's a shelf over here that's one of my favorite shelves because it's got all these big, colorful books like this on it. The ones by Commander X and the ones by...
If you're on Hidden Mysteries website at the bookstore, click on...
Let me look this right.
Ghost is turning around away from his microphone.
Click on the... Under Publishers on the left-hand menu. Click on Inner Light.
Inner Light.
And that has all these books in one section.
Okay, great. And like Ghost said, you enter HM Radio in that coupon code box, and you'll get 15% off your order, right?
And that's a limited coupon. It'll fail out after about a month.
It's going to expire. But anyway, it's an awesome book. So the first lucky five of you that go, and Ghost is going to put the link and everything in the post to go to eBid. And I guess you'll also put the link to eBay and the link to Hidden Mysteries. And if you're one of the lucky first five, you can get this book for how much did we say? $17?
$18. With free postage.
With free postage. So it's $18. That's if you're in the United States, right?
Oh, yes. You have to be in the U.S.
Does it apply to Canada also?
No. They have to pay postage there because it's like $11 a shipper, $12, right. $13, $14.
Right. Okay. Well, if you're in the United States, you can have it for $18. If you're in Canada, you can go click on it on eBid and see how much the various shipping rates are. You can probably get it cheaper than $11 if you're willing to wait a couple of weeks, right? Probably. I mean, just guessing.
Get what cheaper?
The shipping. Like if you're in Canada and
you... By waiting?
Yeah, by picking whatever's the slowest shipping, you know?
No.
No? Oh, okay.
They've changed all that. You have two choices.
Oh, yeah?
One is first class and the other one is priority.
Oh, there we go. Okay. No more.
No slow boat to Canada.
No more bulk freight, huh?
No, they're chiseling everything out of that just shows you the privatization of a government function does not work.
Yeah.
It's what we've seen is price increases and poor service.
Right, right.
Don't tell me privatization is the answer.
Well, it certainly isn't when you privatize it and hand over a monopoly.
Yeah. I mean, it is ridiculous what the post office is charging.
Yeah, Ben Franklin wouldn't be happy, would he?
No, he wouldn't.
Well, anyway, I hope everybody's enjoyed the show, and I've really enjoyed it. I almost feel like Indiana Jones, you know, digging through the Nazi artifacts.
I'd love to dig through some nobody's ever seen.
Well, Ghost.
I'd love to get that book, the second book of Hitler wrote and nobody's ever published.
Right. Well, now, you have a book, and I was starting to read that one yesterday. I can't remember the name of it, but it's the Hitler Files or something like that, where they found the book or something in Dallas in a lawyer's.
They found the manuscript, a typewritten manuscript, in the basement of the Fort Worth Public Library.
Okay.
So somebody had evidently donated it many years earlier or something.
Yeah.
And it just never got around to being. Wasn't a book, so they didn't ever put it on the shelf.
Well, maybe we'll do a show on that book at some point in the future, upcoming. But I was thinking, do you know much about? It occurred to me while we were doing the show. Do you know much about the Ark of the Covenant and all the mythology around that? Do you sell any books about that?
Sure, I do.
Do you know much about it?
I know some about it.
Well, okay.
I know there's not two tablets of stone in it.
Right, right. What's in it? Well, no, don't tell me. Wrong show. Well, maybe we'll talk about that next week, but we won't decide.
There are two stones.
Right, right. But we'll Ghost and I will discuss when we get off air here what next Wednesday show is going to be about. But join us Friday night. I've got a lot of nifty stuff ready to go for us. Among those things, we're going to.
Stone of Scones is interesting, too.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this.
Scarlet Thread.
We're going to talk about this masculinity so fragile hashtag, and we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about what I said earlier. We're going to dissect Roosh's video where he makes the points about why The Happening is different this time. And
LaRouche?
No, Roosh V. Most people know who he is. They'll know who he is. If they don't, they'll know who he is Friday night if they listen to the show. And anyway, we got a couple.
All you good Germans, tip your mug up for Hitler because he really was an incredible leader. And he's been demonized by the people that did not win the war.
Yeah, and somebody go on Twitter and tell Rabbi Ken Cohen that. And
I mean, they really did fight a good battle, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, all them Jews really got up to the front line.
Right, right, right. The only time you ever see a Jew fighting in World War II is in a Spielberg
movie. I
know
why they didn't fight, because if
they didn't have to?
No, because if one of them was a German and got a bullet, it'd be a puff of green smoke.
Oh, right, right, yeah. Yeah, you can't put these ethnic Jews out there in the battlefield and have them giving away your position with all the green smoke and the blue smoke and purple smoke and everything, yeah. Well, it's been fun, Ghost.
Yes.
And we're going to be back Friday night. And
Hats off to Zundel for this book, too.
Hats off to Zundel for darn near everything he does. And you guys have a great... Well, shoot, it's still Wednesday evening, Ghost. It's 11:20. We might actually get this posted.
By midnight.
By midnight. You guys have a great day. We'll see you Friday.